I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, back in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. Thanks for listening this afternoon. Glad you're with us. And glad to have Josh Reed from WIPP in Buffalo as our guest next in the sports bar to continue to react to this morning's press conferences, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, end-of-season press conferences. Josh, how you been?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Josh, great. We're looking forward to this offseason. I mean, what were your biggest takeaways? You were there today after hearing the GM and the head coach speak.
Well, I think I thought one of the things that caught me off guard a little bit was they were both asked about the controversial penalties that were called and were not called. You know, one of the ones being off the top of my head was the opening kickoff of the second half. He fields it, he flips it to the ref steps aside, goes recover, touchdown, and then of course the Cody Ford crackback block. A couple of those just kind of interesting calls. Well, Bean and McDermott were both asked about it, and their reactions were very telling. In fact, Brandon Bean let out a huge sigh and then paused for a moment before answering. Now, they can only say so much before all of a sudden the league gets in their wallets and starts taking money. So they did a pretty good job of walking the line. You could tell they weren't satisfied with some of the calls and some of the big calls that would have changed the outcome of the game. But they also said, especially Sean McDermott, made it a point to say, look, we're not using this as a crutch. That's not the reason we lost the game. That's not it. That's not the reason. And, you know, if we make more plays, we win, and those calls don't mean anything. But that was one of the things that jumped out. I think one of the other things that jumped out was, you know, Brandon Bean said, you know, don't expect, you know, some big flashy trade during the draft or some big signing. You know, in free agency, we all know that the Bills have a ton of cap space going into the offseason. And Brandon made it a point to say, look, you know, we've got guys coming up on contracts that are going to need re-signed, Tre'Davious White being one of those guys. We all know how good of a shutdown corner he's become. You got to pay guys like that. And you got to pay guys like that a ton of money. So, you know, I think that This is a franchise that's led by guys who believe in being fiscally responsible. They're not going to go out and just hand over humongous paychecks to the big name free agent. It's just not going to happen. And, you know, Brandon made it a point to stress that.
Josh Reed, WIVB, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Josh, I want to go back 4 years ago because it was that press conference 4 years ago with Doug Whaley that I think really, I mean, losing will initiate change. Knowing you need a new head coach will initiate change. Hiring Sean McDermott initiated that change. Now here we are 4 years later. Compare and contrast that day to what you experienced today and speak to what that means for this organization. That this organization in 4 years is certainly in a better place now than it was then.
Yeah, you know, you go over to these season-ending press conferences now, unlike the past before Sean and Brandon landed here, and the first thought you had was, okay, the lead story is going to be how long until this GM is fired and who's going to replace this GM or the head coach. Or now you know, okay, neither of these guys are going anywhere. They've made the postseason 2 of the 3 years that they've been in Buffalo. The franchise is as stable as it's been in decades. I mean, they've done things the right way. They brought in high character guys. Their salary cap situation is phenomenal. They've drafted really, really well. You look at the significant playing time that the rookies got this year and how much they contributed. And I, And I actually asked Brandon this. Quentin Spain, the starting guard for the Bills, and locker cleanout made it a point to say he's going to be a free agent. And he made it a point to say, I want to come back to Buffalo. Like, I'm hoping that we can get something done before free agency. I mean, you talk about, you know, showing your hand. I mean, he said that. And I asked Brandon Bean, I said, what does that say? And he goes, you know, it says that we're doing things the right way. And he goes, quite frankly, it's a heck of a lot better than me having to chase free agents around. So, I mean, I don't think that was the case, you know, 10 years ago. I think guys want to be here. Guys believe in the way that Sean and Brandon have built this thing.
Josh Reed is a sports director for WIVB. When we look at some of those decisions, and Quentin Spain is certainly a player I would think they would want back, keep that offensive line together. What would be the biggest priority? Because you have also have two men on the defensive line here that between Jordan Phillips and also Shaq Lawson, were you able to kind of deduce what they may be thinking about either those defensive linemen? So of those three, Josh, which would you like to have back the most, whether it's Spain or whether it's Lawson or perhaps Jordan Phillips?
Yeah, I think that there's a couple different ways to answer that. First, I can tell you this, Brandon he didn't go into that. He said, you know, I don't really talk about free agents and everything like that. As you can imagine, all GMs do that. He did say that, you know, he thought that Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson both had really good years. Keep in mind, Kevin Johnson's also in that boat. Quentin Spain. I think that the most likely guys to be back are Quentin Spain and Kevin Johnson. I think that Shaq Lawson is going to get a huge payday. I think guys who are able to come off the edge, put pressure on the quarterback. Keep in mind, Shaq's still a young guy. Those guys require a lot of money. Like Jordan Phillips, you get a guy that had 9.5 sacks as a defensive tackle. Those guys also make a ton of money. I do not foresee Brandon Bean breaking the bank for either of those guys. I just don't see it. Now, look, if there had been a track record where Shaq Lawson had put up these type of numbers the last 3 years, I think we're having a different conversation. Same with Jordan Phillips. I think the fact that they're coming up on a new deal, want to get paid big bucks, and all of a sudden they flashed, that's a little bit of a warning sign to me. I'm not saying that, you know, it didn't mean anything before. Maybe it just clicked for Shaq this year, but I think Brandon is a little leery about giving big paychecks to guys. And keep in mind, Shaq was not drafted by this regime, so they don't have a connection that goes back. That would have been Rex and Whaley's guy.
Josh, it's no secret for the Bills to get over that hump. They're going to need to score more points on offense. A lot of Sean McDermott's time at the podium was spent talking about that. When you factor in that they're probably, you know, maybe adding one or two skill positions this offseason to help improve this offense, I still think it comes down to the arm of Josh Allen. It's Josh Allen who had really like three separate seasons, a rough start to the season where you're scratching your head and a lot of turnovers, a stretch there in the middle of the season where he looked like what we kind of expected Josh Allen to look like when he was taken seventh overall, and then a disappointing final quarter of the season, of course, the second half of the playoff loss on Saturday. What do you think of Sean McDermott's comments on what he expects Josh Allen to do this offseason in order to improve in his third year?
Well, Sean put it point blank. He said, quote, "We need to score more points." I mean, and that's there's your headline for the whole thing. I mean, that's it, right? I think everybody that watched any of the Bills games and the season knows that the offense is the reason that, quite frankly, they're not playing next week, and that they didn't win the division, and the reason that they didn't have a bye week, and that offense has got to find a way to get better, and it starts with number 17. And, you know, I asked Brandon Bean if he believes that in order to win a Super Bowl, I'm not talking about making a playoff, in order to win a Super Bowl, do NFL teams need an elite quarterback? I get it. I know Nick Foles won one, and I don't think anybody look at him as elite, but I'm talking in general, like most of the time. And he said, I don't think always, but he said, look, if you look at teams around the league, that are constantly in the postseason and constantly playing for, you know, conference championships, they have elite quarterbacks. And I also had said, do you think, did Josh show you something that believes, you believe that he can become that guy? He didn't really answer that part of it, but, you know, he said that, you know, he believes that Josh is getting there and he's heading in the right direction. But I just, he next year's big. I mean, the third year in a quarterback's development is the year. And I'm a firm believer in, they did a good job of surrounding him with better players this offseason, and we saw a better version of Josh Allen, but they still need one or two, like, legit A1 pieces, and then you may get A1 Josh Allen. I don't know that he'll ever be the quarterback that's going to make players around him better. He needs a guy that's going to make him better.
Well, there was one quote from Sean McDermott where he talks about him taking that next step, and at the end of the quote, he throws in the word trust. That Josh Allen trust. I look back at the playoff game and like, what, did he not trust John Brown? Did he not trust Cole Beasley? But when you're trying to deduce why the game plan called for so much Duke Williams and not the guys that brought him to the dance, Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. One of the other things that Sean was asked was, how much are you involved in the play calling? And because you have to wonder, you know, Brian Daboll, at times you'll see him go out and he's uber aggressive. I mean, we saw a wide receiver throw a touchdown pass to a quarterback to open the game,
yeah,
the first drive, and you went, oh, this is what you want to see. Come out throwing haymakers, right? And then all of a sudden, they get conservative at certain points of the game, and it always seems to be the same time, right before the half, right before the end of the game. You know, it's conservative to the point where it's like you can see them trying to score, but just kick a field goal, but don't leave the other team any time left on the clock. It's almost too overthinking. Go try to score a touchdown. Do that. Let's try to do that. Well, and Sean said, look, you know, head coaches all handle it differently. He has input on all aspects of the game, which he should. He's the head coach, and at the end of the day, if the team loses, he's going to be the one answering the questions. And then he was asked specifically, play to play, how much input does he have? And he said that he does, but he doesn't normally give his input. But if there are crucial times in the game, he will. And that makes you wonder when those times are, because Sean's always going to be a guy that's going to want to win the game with defense, right? So if the play calling gets a little conservative, you wonder how much of that is Sean.
Josh, another point that was brought up during the press conference, and I know Sean McDermott's not going to speak on the future of Brian Daboll as he's going through an interview process with another team, but you know, it's fair to ask about what the loss of your offensive coordinator could mean for the development of your quarterback. How devastating it for Josh Allen's development would it be if Brian Daboll somehow ends up in Cleveland?
Yeah, that was my question. I said, look, you know, Sean preaches continuity. Time on task, like we've heard that ad nauseum throughout the year. Well, you lose a guy like Brian Daboll, who's had two full seasons now with Josh Allen. I know a lot of people are wishy-washy when it comes to Daboll. I get it. I can understand it. I don't think it helps Josh Allen's development starting over with a new offensive coordinator. I just don't. I think that you look around the league at some of these young quarterbacks, the ones that were drafted in Josh Allen's draft class, and some of the guys that have struggled, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, you know, there's been a lot of flux. You know, there's been a lot of instability around them. And that's why you haven't seen them maybe develop the way they should have. You know who hasn't had that?
Josh
Lamar
Allen.
Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Look at Lamar Jackson. Guess what? He knows everything. He knows the ins and outs of the offense. Same with Josh. Mm. And I would argue those are the two best quarterbacks right now from that draft class.
Josh,
and those are the two guys.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And those are the two guys, you know, who've had the most stability.
The follow up I was going to ask to the Daboll question with you, and I'm curious, this is your own personal opinion here. Are you surprised that given the success that the Bills defense had this year and last year, that Leslie Frazier didn't even get a sniff?
Yeah, I think Leslie. I think Leslie is such a good defensive coordinator. I think And I think that part of that is Leslie and Sean have a very good marriage, for I don't know, lack of a better term. I mean, I think there is a very healthy give and take there. I think Sean respects the heck out of Leslie Frazier. And I think Leslie Frazier is a guy who has been around the league. He's won a Super Bowl as a player. He's won a Super Bowl as an assistant coach. Guy has seen it all. Been there, done that. Leslie Frazier has a ton of respect inside that locker room. I'm going to tell you right now, there isn't a player on defense that you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy on defense that wouldn't rave about Leslie, not only as a coach, but as a man. They love that guy. So, yeah, I mean, here's the thing, though. Everybody wants the next hot, young, offensive-minded coach, right? That's what they want. Now, meanwhile, look at the scores of all the wild card games. Defense still wins in the postseason. I mean, 20-13, 22-19. I mean, all these games were – I mean, two of the games were in domes. I get it. You know, two of the games were outdoors, but, you know, you get the New England game and the Philly game were outdoors, and the weather wasn't great. But two of the games were indoors. The Saints game, I mean, the Saints, you know, the Saints and Vikings, you're thinking you're going to see some points, right? Nope.
Sticking with the defense there, we do know there is going to be one different player, and that's who is ever going to be playing opposite Matt Milano, Lorenzo Alexander. How do they replace Alexander? Do you think that's through the draft? Is there an internal candidate? Is that the position you go out and spend a little bit of money? And along with that, who steps up for that leadership role in that locker room?
I think that that's a draft thing. I think we've seen, Brandon has just crushed it. And Sean, when it comes to the middle rounds of the draft, I mean, they have landed. And you mentioned Matt Milano, and he's one of the guys. You know, Devin Singletary. Look at some of these guys they get that are big-time contributors in those middle rounds. And I think they can find a guy who can give them, obviously, not the experience. You're going to take a huge step back because Lorenzo has been around and seen it all. But you can get somebody who can give them. They can get somebody who can give them what Lorenzo gave them from a stat, you know, standpoint. The leadership thing that you don't just replace a guy like that. In fact, Sean said that he opened up his press conference by thanking several different fans and ownership and. And they said, you know, he thanked Lorenzo and his family for everything that he had done for him since he arrived. And he said that Lorenzo was his kind of quote-unquote messenger. He was the one that took Sean's message and made sure that the rest of the team kind of got the message, right? I don't think you just replaced that guy. But, you know, look, the safeties on this team, Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer, they've been around now. They've seen it. I mean, Micah Hyde's a guy who's only missed the postseason one time his entire career, and it was last year. That's it. He's made the playoffs every other year. Josh Allen continues to grow as a leader. I mean, he was the guy who's not shied away from being, you know, from being a leader since he arrived. Even in his rookie year, you remember LeSean McCoy getting up at the podium being like, I can't believe how good of a leader this guy is. And he's young, he's a rookie, and yet he's not afraid to stand up and say something. Quite frankly, if you're going to be an NFL quarterback, you better be the leader. So I think maybe he continues to develop and take on more of that role. But, you know, I think that it's going to be kind of a committee type thing. I don't think you're going to have just one guy, because the last 2 years, they lost Kyle Williams and Lorenzo Alexander. And I mean, those are two guys that you want as your voices. So, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how it develops for sure.
Josh Reed, sports director, WIVB in Buffalo, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. And Josh, before we let you go, because you broke the draft seal and they're picking at 22 and we know where they're picking, what do you think the biggest need is for the draft for the Buffalo Bills? What direction do you see them going in round one?
I'm going to give you Brandon's answer first. Brandon Bean will tell you the best player available. Yep. And he truly believes that. I mean, he does. He just does.
It's nice that they're in a position to say that, though, isn't it? I mean, like, normally if you're drafting out of need, there's something wrong within your organization. But to say, yeah, we're going to take the best player that's available to us is a luxury that a lot of teams don't have.
100%. Look, they don't have holes, I don't think. I think they have you know, cracks that they need to fill in, right? I don't know if that even makes sense, but I don't think that they have this gaping hole. You know, it's not like they need a quarterback. You know what I mean? It's not like they, look, they're probably going to need an interior defensive lineman. Hopefully Harrison Phillips bounces back, but, you know, health-wise, you don't know where he is. A number one wide receiver would be fine and dandy with me. You look at what DK Metcalf has done with the Seahawks this year, and you go, oh, man, a player like that, oh, would he look good in this offense? So, I mean, initially I would say that wide receiver would be a position. You no longer need a running back because, man, Devin Singletary developed. Oh, last half of the year, playoff game, he played really well. So, you know, I think that wide out would be one of the spots in an interior defensive line. And like you mentioned, you know, somebody to replace Lorenzo Alexander.
Josh, if I could sneak in
wide receiver, by the way, if you ask. Me personally, I'm going wide.
You and every fan, I think, wants a wide receiver. Absolutely.
Josh, one last quick one. Today we learned that Jerry Hughes had an injured wrist. Could the Buffalo Bills be fined for that, for not disclosing it on the injury report?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens because it came out that he had ligament damage there in his wrist, and Sean was asked about that, and the follow up question was, well, why wasn't he listed? And Sean's answer was, well, he was, but it was for a different injury. Well, that's interesting to me. Now, I will say this: these guys are playing with so many more injuries than we know about, all of them. The NFL, these guys are basically in car wrecks daily, right? They're just running their body through a wall. I mean, these guys are playing injured. But it's going to be interesting to see if the NFL comes down with a hammer and finds the team. It's going to be interesting. I don't know the answer to that, but, we'll probably find out within the next week.
Josh, very gracious with your time to join us here in the Sports Bar. We appreciate it. I want to give you a few moments to let our listeners know what they can check out at WIVB.com.
Oh, yeah, you can check out all of our, all of our postseason coverage, I guess, if you call it, the postseason press conference, WIVB.com, and then you can follow me on Twitter, @ForJoshReed.
Josh, appreciate your time. Man, let's not wait 6 months to have you on again. I always appreciate your insight. Thanks so much, Josh.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Josh Reed, he is a sports director at WIVB in Buffalo. Good with his time and joining us here to recap this morning's press conferences, Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott from Orchard Park.
Yeah, a lot to talk about today. We've got also Matt Parrino coming up here shortly. We've got I'll Drink to That. We have a few hires today in the NFL. Yeah. It's only one vacancy left. It's been a really busy day here.
I've got a take on one of those hires. It involves the New York Giants, and I want to bring this back up because I kind of glossed over it yesterday. One of our counterparts at our sister station, our radio.com sports sister station in Pittsburgh, threw out a flamethrower scenario that I just think is, oh, it's spectacular. I would love to see something. I know it's not going to happen, but hear me out and tell me why it doesn't make sense.
Gary Bettman is not the worst commissioner in sports.
Oh,
it's Rob Manfred.
What do you mean?
There's a story today from the Red Sox, and if you took basic management 101, we wouldn't be at this point right now. But Rob Manfred, you trace his days back to the steroid era. He was a part of learning from Bud Selig. He's a terrible manager, and I'll explain why.
All right, we'll get into that and more. We have some takes on tap next. It is I'll Drink to That on the way in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.